Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Our friend Brad Young is going to join us in just a moment. I wanted to talk to Michael Calhoun just briefly. And I got to say, Michael, I'm encouraged by how quiet things are so far. I don't know about you after last night.
Well, I think last night I made a remark that I was encouraged by only seeing pallets on fire in the middle of the street and no buildings. And then things deteriorated from there. So I guess make an early judgment call at your own risk.
Oh, man. Well, I saw that there are some gatherings happening in Ferguson now. But from what we've seen, it doesn't look like there's much in the way of protest in downtown St. Louis, which is a good thing. Is that what you're seeing in Ferguson? It looks like they're getting together now. There looks to be some people gathering.
Okay. We'll take a look at that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you saw that. I was just watching some of the things there. But, after a night like last night, I think a lot of people have watched the violence and destruction. I'm encouraged also by the different networks that have been focusing on the cleanup in the trying to get things back to normal, the ones that are trying to do good in the community. A lot of those stories are starting to come to the forefront, which is something we need at this time, too. So you're going to be with us tonight. You'll be doing the news. And if anything pops up, I guess we'll get the latest from you, Michael. Does that sound good?
I'll be watching.
Cool. Michael Calhoun there with the KMOX newsroom. You'll get more another update from him when it happens, if there is something that happens tonight. And like yesterday, we're just kind of on call. We're waiting to see if anything does happen. Joining us now is someone that we bring on the show when there's legal issues, and he's so good at breaking these things down. Brad Young from Harris, Dahl, Fisher & Young. Brad, how are you?
Ryan, I'm doing great, sir. Thank you.
After what we saw over the weekend in a lot of different major cities, including here in St. Louis, we saw some protests that were right teetering when it comes to peaceful to non-peaceful, and then last night being the worst of those nights. There was the curfew that was enacted in the city of St. Louis tonight, not so much in the county, but some individual cities have decided to enact a curfew. Ferguson being another one of those individual cities with a curfew. And I'm kind of curious, I wanted to talk to you about some of the legalities of what goes on, not only with that, but how the president could talk about sending in troops to certain cities if it is necessary, which is kind of interesting to see the federal government go in and say that they're going to have to come in and supersede what the localities are doing.
It is interesting. And in fact, President Trump has alluded that he wants to do that. However, there are a number of federal statutes, some going back to 1807, that will really guide whether the president can even do anything. And if he can, to what extent. The first act is called the Insurrection Act of 1807. And the other is the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878. And it seems odd, Ryan, to talk about laws that are almost 200 years old or 140 years old and how those control what the president does today. But it really does. It controls how the president can act, under what circumstances he can act, and how far he can go.
So let's talk about how far he can go. Really, when something like this is enacted and the president does use this, which is under his power, what can he do and what can't he do?
Well, the first thing is there has to be a number of things that occur before he could ever send out the troops. I mean, for example, under the Posse Comitatus Act, the president is barred from using federal troops for any sort of military, police, or domestic action unless authorized by other laws. And that's why you have to go all the way back to 1807 to the Insurrection Act. And under the Insurrection Act, the president has to, first of all, declare that there's an emergency, declare that the laws in the United States are not being enforced and that people are being deprived of their federal rights. But even if he does that, he can only act in most circumstances if he's invited, as it were, by either the governor or a state legislature. And so right now, you know, we're certainly not seeing any of that happening, even though the president has mentioned and has tweeted on numerous occasions that he's ready to send in the troops. A lot would have to happen before that could occur.
You and I wonder, too, because basically anytime the president does anything, there's some sort of legal challenge associated with it. So is there even an opportunity for states to object to this or even challenge it if they don't want the help from the feds?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, there are some legal challenges. One of the things is that under that Insurrection Act, the president can only act if, like I said, number one, the governor invites him in, or number two, there's a finding that the states are failing to quell an insurrection. And so that has to be a finding by the president before he could send in the troops. So, for example, I think it was today, earlier today, the attorney general of the state of New York tweeted that that she would take legal action to block the president because right now the state of New York is taking appropriate steps to quell whatever activity you want to call it, the looting, the rioting, however you want to label it. The state of New York is taking those steps. And we see those steps being taken right here now in the state of Missouri, whether it's through Governor Parson activating the National Guard or whether it's through the use of the St. Louis City or St. Louis County Police Force. They're doing that action. So the president would have to make a finding that the states are failing to do that. And at least New York, and I'm certain some other states, including California, would object. Minnesota would as well, and would probably take legal action to bar the president from sending in the troops.
Wow. We look at the states that are affected by this, Minnesota, California, New York, Missouri, based on what we've seen. So there's really just a handful of states that we've seen so far that have even gotten themselves into this position. And we're seeing night after night of this, and the curfew being enacted last night seems to be working thus far in the city of St. Louis. We've saw the effectiveness of what curfews can do combined with the opportunity for the National Guard to step in if they need backup. So we're hoping that these things could help calm some of the violence down at night. And the president coming in and making these things, would this be like an executive order from him, or how does that even get enacted? Do you know?
Yeah, I do. It would be an executive order. The last time this was done was actually in 1992 during the Rodney King riots. And at that point, President Bush was able to send in the troops because he was invited to do so by the governor of California. In the absence of that, the president would have to make a finding that the states are failing to protect the rights of the citizens under federal law. He would have to give the rioters or the protesters an opportunity to disperse. We don't know how long that opportunity would last. And then at that point, he could send in the troops. But that kind of resistance, in other words, the president sending in federal troops or the military, when the governor has objected to that, that's never happened in all of history. So we Wow. don't really know how that would play out. In every instance where troops have been sent out under the Insurrection Act of 1807, it's been done by with the cooperation of the governor of that state. So Wow. it's never been done in opposition to a governor. So we don't know. We have no precedent or no prior examples in history to show us what type of resistance would happen. But I think depending on the state in which those troops were sent into, we could see a lot of legal challenges in addition to the physical challenges that we're seeing on the streets on many evenings.
Yeah. Well, I guess we take this one day at a time. At this point, that's all you could really do. Brad Young from Hairstyle Fisher & Young, it's good to hear you again. I hope you're doing all right, and hope we get to talk soon.
Doing well. And let me tell you, last night it reminded me of growing up as a kid and watching Cardinal baseball on television, but turning down the volume to listen to the Jack Buck coverage on KMOX. Your coverage and Michael Calhoun and Maria Kina all coming in and analyzing what was happening last night, it was riveting, and you guys did an excellent job.
I don't know how long you listened for, but the very end of the night, Chief Hayden had his press conference. It was very emotional, and you can just tell his heart was breaking based on everything that was going on, being overwhelmed and having four officers shot. And, you know, this bothers me, too. I'm just going to rant to you real quick, Brad, if you don't mind. But you read the national stories, the ones that decide to talk about St. Louis, and they say four officers injured. We had four officers shot last night. And the National News says four officers injured during protests in St. Louis, downplaying it, which really made me a little bit upset to see the. To me, it's disrespectful into all of the hard work that these officers are putting in to try to keep the peace and stopping more destruction and violence from happening. They get shot in the line of duty, and all they get is a subline injured while the protesters from the protesters. It's just unbelievable. But
yeah, right. even one of the police officers who was injured. Ryan posted pictures on social media today, and he showed he's got a bullet hole in his leg. And I think that's a little more serious than simply being injured.
Yeah. Brad Young, I'm so glad you came on tonight. And thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Ryan.
He joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line. And you can join us, too, at 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX.
Weekday mornings at 8:30, Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks Kors provide perspective on KMOX and KMOX.com.
And Overnight America is here with you tonight. Wow, I do have some other things to talk about, but I do want to keep things open for you at 314-436-7900. A message from Dennis Rodman. Oh, boy. If the voice of reason is Dennis Rodman, then isn't that just a 2020 thing? When we look back at 2020, we're going to say, wow, Dennis Rodman had it right. So I'm going to play some comments from him. I also want to talk a little bit about the businesses that were damaged. And KMOV did a story about gun shops are inundated with new customers. I want to play some of that for you. And rightfully so, that's a great option for a lot of people. Let's go to Mike, who's calling in first. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hey, Ryan.
Hi. Go ahead.
I'm not saying Brad is wrong, but in 1954, Ooh. President Dwight Eisenhower sent federal troops to Little Rock, Arkansas to force the integration of Little Rock schools. And at that time, I don't believe he was invited in by the governor of Arkansas. Now, I hope someone could fact check that for me, but I can swear that that was the case in 1954.
Hmm.
And yeah, I must say last night.
Are you sure those were the feds that came in for that?
Yeah, no, they were federal troops that were sent to Little Rock, Arkansas. I heard Rush Limbaugh talk about it today.
Oh, okay. Well, so what was the other thing you were going to
bring up? Last night, your report was 5-star, buddy. I mean, you did a bang up job. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, but it was so informative. I was right there with you.
Oh, wow. Last night was just one of those surreal nights as you watched what was going on and you realized that this was something that was almost predictable. And
well,
the sad thing is,
experience and reporting as a reporter and radio man just brought us right there.
Well, Mike, thank you for that compliment. Good to hear from you tonight and have a good one. That is one of those things when you're doing a radio show and you have an entire show planned out. But you also know that there is a possibility that all of it will be useless in the matter of minutes when something happens. That was one of those things. That was one of those times. Last night was one of those times. And I was watching the different feeds, and I got to say, it's just amazing the time we live in today where we can watch the news and we can see the different helicopters bring you live updates and you can kind of get a feel for what's going on. You can also watch the videos on the street. Michael Calhoun and Maria Kina did fantastic work in the way that they brought coverage. And how about this? Producer Mike also bringing us news coverage. I mean, we had coverage from all kinds of different angles and different areas. And I got to say that it was one of those things as a broadcaster, you don't really train for breaking news. It's just something you're either able to do or not. And it also the experience factor of it. I've got a news background, somewhat of a news background. I worked at a radio station in Indiana, and part of that is when you're working in a smaller area, you have to do a million different things. So I was managing the radio station. I was also the fill-in host for when someone got sick. I was also the fill-in producer when someone got sick. I was also the person that did all the weather updates at night because we didn't have a staff at night. I was the one that did all the breaking news at night because we didn't have a staff at night. I was also the person that did midday news because we couldn't afford a midday news person. So I pitched in and did a million different things, all while trying to do my main job, which was run the radio station. And since I have this sort of experience across the board of doing all these other things, it does help me in moments like last night as a broadcaster to be able to cover it in a way that at least looks at it from a news angle, but also looks at it from an emotional host angle and someone that could analyze it and not have to worry about, you know, because when you're doing the news, you have your journalistic duties, you have your different perspectives that you want to bring into it, and you want to make sure that both perspectives are into it. You want it to be fair, and you also want it to be accurate. You want it to be depictions of what's been confirmed. You want to make sure you point out what hasn't been confirmed. So there's all these different things going in. But as a host, I like the flexibility where I don't have that, right? I don't have that sort of hat on where I have to adhere to all of these other rules that the journalists adhere to. I can just give you what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling, and I feel a lot more comfortable telling you how I feel than trying to get everything right immediately. Does that make sense? Kind of. It may be too insider baseball for radio, but I think a lot of people understand, Mike. Maybe that's why you enjoyed the coverage last night, because you got both. You got us, and you got the KMOX news staff, and of course KMOV and Fox 2 and all the other news sources that we used and we're bringing up. These are all things that we're able to zipper together on air, and you can get a pretty big picture of things, and I think that's what people appreciate. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Good evening. I don't want to say good evening. Sorry about that. I had some thoughts about what's been going on the last couple nights.
Yeah.
I think some of this was planned by some of these groups since Trump's been elected. And they were looking for something to latch on to take advantage of.
And so when you say these groups, what kind of groups do you think?
Left-wing or just general anarchist groups or whoever.
Groups that look for something that they'd be able to enact their plan. Do you feel like this was a plan in the playbook they're just waiting to use?
Yeah, but I don't think it was this Floyd, what happened to Floyd. I think it was the lockdown, everything's been going on the last couple months. So it's just everything that came together.
And there's a lot of contributing factors.
And what happened with Floyd just was a tipping point, was something that they were able to use.
Yeah, and we can probably point out when we talk about the coronavirus and how we were socially distancing when on lockdown, and they tried to do a lot to say that this is just what you have to do, and it goes to show you there were other factors in play that really damaged people's psyches and mindsets, that this was turning into a powder keg, and it just was the worst time for anything like this to happen because people were just looking for excuses to lash out, in particular to government.
Yeah, and
how
do things look for St. Louis tonight? I haven't heard much of anything.
No, I'm watching in really downtown St. Louis and most of the area, not so much. There was KMOV just did a live shot over at Ferguson. If I had to guess, there might be 50 people out there. So it looks like there's some people gathering outside of the police station. But for the most part, there hasn't been anything close to what we've seen the last couple of nights. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, maybe because he's helping or they moved on to another city.
Who knows? It just could be the factor that they realize that, hey, we're not messing around when it comes to the National Guard. And since the National Guard is here and ready to move in, man, this is the days of you breaking a window, going in, and then you have police just standing by watching you do it is over, because we know what that leads to. And we're not going to have that again. So that's important. All right. Thanks, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
You too.
Have a good night. 314-436-7900. I want to play this piece from KMOV coming up after the weather and after the break. And part of it is just trying to understand people really want to make sure they're protected because they're scared. They're scared that this is going to come to where they live and then their family is going to be put into danger. And what we saw last night, imagine if you live downtown close to one of those areas and you're watching all of this happening and you're realizing the police can't do anything or been told not to do anything or can't even get to a fire because the protesters are there shooting and throwing things at firefighters. Imagine you were living in a building and one of these things go up and then you realize there's no help coming for you. So where do people turn? They turn to help themselves. And KMOV did a story about some local gun shops that have seen a lot of new customers. And we're going to talk about that next on Overnight America, KMOX.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Innocent people have been savagely beaten, like the young man in Dallas, Texas, who was left dying on the street, or the woman in upstate New York, viciously attacked by dangerous thugs. Small business owners have seen their dreams utterly destroyed. New York's finest have been hit in the face with bricks. Brave nurses who have battled the virus are afraid to leave their homes.
That's President Trump, part of his address and reasoning of why we are in the issue where we are today, where the intervening of the federal government in order to try to bring peace to the streets where they're not being handled properly. And that's why you're seeing the National Guard deployed in Missouri. I think this needs to be taken seriously, and rightfully so. We're knowing that there are some protests, but from the last look of it in Ferguson, it doesn't look like anything that has turned violent. There may be, just trying to eyeball it, 50 people there, if that, maybe closer to 100, but probably closer to 50. And they're just outside of the police department. So we're not really seeing any reports coming out of downtown St. Louis right now. And we're talking about the violence in there. And yesterday, a retired St. Louis police captain was killed during this looting. And I got to tell you, this was heart-wrenching to hear Captain David Dorn was murdered. Part of the problem that we run into in a social media world is that when people are going around up to no good, they have their cell phones out and record things. And sometimes they capture things that they don't think they're going to capture, including a shot Dorn on the streets breathing his last breath. And that was witnessed to many people across the country. There is a $10,000 reward out now for the information to bring in the person that murdered the former police chief. And I got to say, I hope they find this person. I hope they find this animal and hold that person accountable. And what I also want to point out is that his name has been making the rounds on social media in a positive way. There are people that are trying to fundraise for his family and try to help him as any way they can. And I really hope they catch whoever this was. $10,000 will go a long way. If you're a punk and you're used to stealing and grabbing things from a 7-Eleven and you're happy with what you got out of the snack aisle because, oh, look at that, I grabbed a couple of beef jerkies. Man, I looted $50 worth of junk. And if that's what you're happy with, wait till you dangle 10 grand in front of someone and tell them all you have to do is the right thing. All you have to do is the right thing. Whoever shot this innocent person on the street, just tell us who it is. Give us a tip. We'll take it from there. And then the money is yours. I hope that happens. I hope that happens quickly. And that is a motivator for a lot of people. Camo V did a story. I wanted to talk about this. And it's a lot of people that have been going now to gun stores. And they did a pretty good, interesting talk with a few people in line. So let's do that in just a couple of minutes. I want to go to Robert first. Welcome to Overnight America, Robert.
Hi, Ryan. How are you tonight?
Good.
Good. I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate your show. You do a great job.
Thank you.
I'm over here in Illinois, and my main concern with the issues in front of us is that this is a result of the police departments not policing themselves. So if I was in charge of things, across the country, there's millions of arrests every day. The officers that are making those arrests and are being reprimanded for their way of handling the arrests, how many reprimands are you allowed to have? If this guy knelt on this guy's neck and he had already had 18 reprimands, he should not be on the police force. He should not be out in the street. He should not be policing our communities. So where are you going to draw the line? I say you get three reprimands, you get suspended. You got four, you know, you're gone. So how come we allow these police officers to continue to harass our citizens when they should be policing themselves?
I don't think there was 18 reprimands in this case. I believe there were 10 complaints. Not all of them resulted in reprimands. Where did you get 18?
Well, it's just the number that I heard as far as reading, you know, up on the subject. But
sure. Okay.
Regardless, I think five's, you know, a point where there's a problem that the police officer has abused his power. When you take the law into your own hands and kill someone on the street, I'm from the old school. I would eye for an eye. I'm sorry. You know, you should be in the middle of the square and be stoned to death. You know, that's my opinion.
No, that's not a good way to handle things. Of course, that's not.
Well, it's not. Of course, this is 2020. But if you look at all the arrests across the country, and look at the percentage of proper arrests. As opposed to improper arrests, there are police officers making improper arrests for improper reasons. And they are not addressing that. That is not an issue that they're discussing, which to me is the main issue here. We would not even be talking right now, and I wouldn't be calling your show, if this police officer did not act responsibly with a person in custody. He did not.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Robert.
He abused his power. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
I appreciate
Thank you, Robert. So did he abuse his power? Yes. Is he in custody and is he going to be tried for murder? Yes, he will be tried for murder. There's also reports about some of the other police officers facing charges for their role in all of this. We knew that there was two other officers on the back of George Floyd. We also know that there was another person that really didn't do much. What kind of charges will be brought up against them? Here's the point. When you're a police officer, and I'm going to try to say this in a way, and I'm not trying to justify anything that this one officer did that ended up being resulting in murder charges against George Floyd. I'm not trying to justify it or by any means. But when you're a police officer, you're being called to situations that are often dangerous situations. You're not being called to a little old lady's house and she just so happened to bake an extra pie. And hey, officers, I wondered if you would like this beautiful blueberry pie that I've that's not the case. When officers are put into a situation, they have a certain way that they need to handle themselves. Sometimes they handle themselves properly. Other times there's other things that happen. There could be acts of violence upon them, and that changes the way that they have to handle the situation. Sometimes they use excessive force, and that is an issue, and those things need to be looked at. But what I'm saying is that in a world today, when people post up a selective 15-second clip and say that's the whole story, people, for whatever reason, try to point and say this is the way all police officers act and we should stone them in the middle of the town square for what they do. And that is nonsense. Now, I'm not saying that's what Robert said, but I'm saying that's what you see. People bring this up. And let's look at this, too. Officers do get investigated. Officers are looked into. And there, a lot of times, officers are more than just reprimanded on the job, they do see criminal charges. And on top of that, you also find a Department of Justice that has to intervene, just like they did in Ferguson. So it's not being done by the locals. It's being done on the federal side to make sure that there isn't any sort of favoritism or there isn't some sort of cover-up on that. They look into it on that factor. All of these things are in play for police officers. It doesn't mean they get to skate free. It doesn't mean that they go uninvestigated. What it means is that in the future, we need to make sure we're doing everything we can in order to bring people that break that system. So if you want to make the argument that we're not doing a good enough job of tracking and policing the police, then that's a point. You can make that point. You can make that as a fair point. One of the things that I've been advocating for a long time is body cameras. I think that it is just necessary in today's world that all police officers have body cameras. And I think that is going to give a much better picture. I also believe that what you see in Kentucky, the one instance where the body cameras weren't even on the officers, is justification enough to shade a lot of doubt to the practices of a police department, okay? as in not necessarily that they were doing the right or wrong things, but what I'm saying is if this was encouraged for them not to have the body cameras on or turn them off and it wasn't accidental and this is something that happens a lot, and if they're doing this as a way to try to skirt responsibility for things they may be doing on the job, then that needs to be taken care of. But just like here in St. Louis, in the city, in the county, in the region, I just think that police body cameras are going to have to be a thing of the future. I think they're going to have to be necessary for everyone in order to get the truth of what happened. So there's no discrepancy. So there's no he said, she said. So we can see it right there, clear blank. And I think that'll clear up a lot of these different issues. And we'll get a much better idea. And yes, there were body cameras on in Minneapolis. There's been some videos that have been released on it. We do get to see that. Let's see, 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line. I do want to take some more of your calls, but I also want to play this story from KMOV, which I think is a good story. It shows that there's a lot of individuals are willing to take protection into their own hands, knowing that the police may not always be there to help them, and that has to do with them getting a firearm. And KMOV did a story on it today. We'll do that coming up next in some of your calls on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And thank you for joining us tonight on Overnight America. I'm on Facebook now. If you haven't liked that page, you probably should. Ryan Recker Radio. That's a great way for you to, interact with some of the things we talk about. I post links on there. Once in a while, I have rants. So, Ryan Recker Radio, I try to post funny things, too. It's not all serious all the time, and it's not all political. So, let's take a couple of more of your calls before we get to the news update at 11 o'clock, which is with Michael Calhoun. Let's go to Jan. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead, Jan.
Yes. My question was, what are the charges that are going to be brought against the protesters that ended up killing the police officer in St. Louis? Two wrongs do not make a right.
So you're talking about the former police chief that was shot and killed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just sad. So there's that $10,000 reward out to try to find someone, at least get the information to Crime Stoppers. And by the way, Crime Stoppers is an amazing organization. They deserve all the credit in the world for the work that they do. And they're also very good at keeping people's information anonymous. So if they're worried about retaliation, they can still give this information out there and they don't have to worry about anyone finding out it was from them. All they're concerned about is bringing justice to the person that did something terrible. So Crime Stoppers, if you know anything about the murder of Officer Dorn, it's a good call. Now, what charges would be brought to them? I'm not sure, because I think they have to find the person first, then they have to determine what exactly happened. As far as I'm concerned, that's first-degree murder. So if you're walking around during a riot carrying a gun and you pull that gun out and shoot someone, there's no way that was accidental. That was intentional. And if it was an intentional murder, then that's the way it's got to be, first-degree. That's what I think, at least. I just don't know. I don't know what the prosecutors put together with that.
Well, it's just horrible. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it is. All right, thanks, Jan, for calling in. Have a good night.
Thank you. Okay, you too.
Yeah, it wasn't involuntary. It wasn't accidentally. It's no, you're walking around with a firearm during a riot and you shot someone. You shot and killed someone. So, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to do this from KMOV real quick. I don't know if you caught this story from earlier, but a lot of people are lining up and they're ready to get themselves a firearm for self-protection after everything we've seen as of late.
On a hot afternoon, the line stretched out the door and down the sidewalk at Mid-America Arms.
What was your reaction when you got out here and saw the line? I mean, what did you think?
We'll give it a couple of minutes and see how it go. If we move, we go in. If not, then we'll maybe try again in the morning.
This customer...
Yeah, so when you show outside the building, it looks like your typical type of gun shop. Nothing fancy, right? Just a building with a sign on it. And it almost looks like a little bit larger than a convenience store, you know, square building, things like that. And there were people lined up outside the door. I don't know exactly what their capacity is because of the COVID regulations, but they still had people waiting. And there was probably, I don't know, 2 dozen, 3 dozen people waiting outside.
This customer named Terrence told me he's here for one reason.
I'm out here probably like everyone else. We just want to feel protected. We just want to make sure we secure our houses.
Another customer told me he's here to help his neighborhood.
Why did you come out here today? Are you?
I need an AR. A couple of the local African-American businesses have asked me and a couple other guys to stand out there at night to make sure they're
property isn't, their life savings and their property isn't destroyed. So I need a firearm to be able to do that.
The events of last night hit close to home for PJ. He actually knew David Dorn, the retired captain that was shot and killed by a looter. PJ doesn't want to see it happen again.
My advice to everyone would be stand up for your local businesses, because once these are burned down out there, they're not coming back. New ones aren't coming in. We need to stand together as Americans.
Yeah, and you know what? We know that just from the previous caller who mentioned that they're not going to reopen that 7-Eleven. What do you got? You got a charred building. What's going to happen there? If it wasn't hard enough already when it comes to the business climate atmosphere, now you have to worry about all of this garbage happening at the same time, too. People coming around and looting willy-nilly, and worst case, you're out there and you want to be able to defend yourself and someone comes up and shoots you. Just really sad. Let's go to Mike, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America, Mike.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Good.
I was telling the screener, I work down there close to Goodfellow and Riverview. It's the Wild West down there, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's constant gunfire after dark down there, and there's no police presence whatsoever. They have abandoned them people. Mm. If you got a gun going off in Chesterfield or St. Charles, Lake St. Louis, in a lot of them areas, the police would be there. There is no police presence down there. How do we explain that to that community?
It's a good question. How would you explain it?
You tell me.
You don't have an explanation.
It don't make no sense to me. It's a high crime area. We got a lot of problems down there, and now we're just not going to show up.
We have a lot of issues in St. Louis, and one of the things we're doing ourselves a disjustice is when we have instances like this where there are high crime areas, and then there are advocates that say, well, if you send the police in there, you're just profiling and you're giving people a hard time for no reason. And there's people that actually want to drive police out of certain areas as opposed to bring them in and try to clean up some of this crime, which is a real shame. It really is.
Yeah, it's really sad, but the bottom line on it is that's what we got to figure out. There's got to be a presence. You know, they just can't show up. I had a car stolen here about a year ago. The police showed up and ran me. You know how disheartening that was for me?
Wait, what did they do?
They run me. They took my driver's license and did a check on me.
Oh, I see. To see if you're doing a fraudulent claim or something, or were they just trying to get your info for the person that's filing a claim?
No, they ran a check on me. I was standing there and heard them. You know,
oh, is that right?
And it's insulting. I can't imagine what it's like for them people down there.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't. So, anyway, I appreciate your show.
All right, thank you. Good to hear from you, Mike. Yeah. Have a good night. Yeah, the interesting thing is there are people living in areas that try to make their region better. They want to start community action. They want to make it better for the people that live there. They want to watch out for their neighbors. They don't want this. They don't want the drug dealing. They don't want the guns. They don't want the violence. They don't want the gangs. They try to get rid of all of these things. And to have them not get the support that's necessary from the police is disheartening. And I think there's other factors that lead into it. I don't think it's always a matter of the police just completely abandoning it. I guess in St. Louis, there are resources issues for number one. But number two, it could be dangerous, again, for the police to go in there. That could be a part of it. Number three, it could just be an issue where they're told to leave a certain area. Well, I guess that would be abandoning. But as in, there's certain pressures of if you go into this area, it's not going to look good because it's just going to be considered police harassment, right? So some people look at it that way. So there's a public perspective to it. And I guess it's unfortunate that police have to worry about trying to keep innocent people safe and also combat that with a public perspective where people are going to spin that and say it's not to try to keep them safe. It's just because you're trying to harass people. But when you talk to the ones that are actually trying to change communities, they welcome in the police and they say, we want to have a good relationship with them. We want to be on good terms with them. We want their help. But sometimes it gets turned away. It's by the wrong actors that get it turned away. You know, KMOV, again, they did this story about customers lining up. And what a good point it is where people say that they want to feel protected. They want to feel secure in their homes. And that's just part of what anyone wants to be. They want to make sure that they have a safe travel if they're going to go through the city. They want to make sure that they have a safe residence. They want to make sure their family is safe. And what they see in downtown St. Louis during a dangerous time like last night is that places could get lit on fire. Businesses can get lit on fire. There could be a large barrage of gunshots. And then the police can't help you because, number one, they have their hands full in some of these really dangerous situations. But number two, it actually puts them in a situation where they can't even get to you. Like, look at the firefighters that had gunshots. These are firefighters trying to put out fires, and these rioters, these looters, are shooting at them. We had four police officers shot last night. And it just goes to show you that if you had the ability to get a little peace of mind knowing that you can defend yourself if they came for you and your family, that's what people are going towards right now, realizing that this is the best first wave of protection. And keep in mind, the people that were in line there, there wasn't any sort of demographic. It was all types of people in all types of colors and all types of ages. It wasn't just one in particular. I think everyone that is seeing what's going on is starting to wake up to the fact that they have to take some accountability for their own domain. And this is really the only thing that they can do, at least putting some of that protection into their own hands if it ever got to that point. So we're going to take a break. We'll take a look at your news. Michael Calhoun's coming up in a few minutes. And I do want to play a message from Dennis Rodman. I know. Can you believe that? Dennis Rodman, some voice of reason at this point. And then our friend Rich Rubino, we didn't get a chance to talk to him last night. So we're going to check in with him tonight on Overnight America KMOX.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.